It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Lydia Ko of New Zealand wins the gold medal in the Women's Olympic Golf Competition at Le Golf National. With the win, Lydia punches her ticket to the LPGA Hall of Fame. Since it is based off of a point system, she now has enough points to where she will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also in women's golf, the United States Women's Amateur was played at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma last week. In the semifinals, there were two Razorbacks competing. Maria Jose Marin and Kendall Todd. They were not competing against each other, and if they both would have won their semifinal matches, they would have matched up in the final. Asterisk Tally was playing Maria Jose Marin and had a one-up lead on the 13th hole when Maria, who has been on this podcast before, injured her left knee. She had to concede two holes later, and so Asterisk Tally moved on to the final. Who would she face? It would either be Kendall Todd or the person who beat her in the U.S. Junior Girls Championship about a month before. Rian Malixi was able to defeat Kendall Todd by winning the 18th hole with a birdie, but it wasn't just the 18th hole. Todd took a one-up lead on 16 with the birdie on the par 5. Malixi came back and birdied 17 and 18 to win the match. It was the only time in the 18 holes that Malixi held a lead over Kendall Todd, so a Razorback final was not to be. In the final, 36 holes were played, 18 on Saturday to avoid storms on Sunday morning and 18 potentially on Sunday afternoon. Rian Malixi defeated Asterisk Tally 3-2. Tally only has two losses in match play in three USGA competitions this year, and they both came to Malixi. So Rian Malixi is your 2024 U.S. Women's Amateur Champion. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with a legend in the South Central section and a legend when it comes to PGA golf professionals. Darrell Shelton, the longtime golf professional at the Country Club of Little Rock, sits down with me after the break. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group property. How do you do that? You find them on the web, bphotels.com. I'm back with Darrell Shelton after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. The Country Club of Little Rock has had four golf professionals in its history. Recently, I had the chance to sit down with number four on that list. On the tee, Darrell Shelton.
Mr. Shelton, thanks for sitting down with me on this edition of From the Short Grass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
Yes, I used to caddy for my dad when I was young. I think my mother wanted us out of the house. I had one older brother, one younger brother. So we went out and we'd pull the cart for him, and that's how we got out. And probably he let me swing a golf club every now and then. And I got he got in trouble one time for me hitting a golf ball on a golf course when I didn't pay for it.
Oh wow!
And I was probably about 10, you know, but 11 years old.
Self-taught, or did he kind of teach you?
No, he was a football player and he was a baseball player, so he really didn't have any knowledge of golf. He loved it. But I picked up a 3-iron and an old ball in Oklahoma, and used to hit golf balls on the practice field.
And then you guys moved to Nashville, and that's where you kind of grew up and really, I guess, honed your skills in the game of golf?
Nashville, I started there when I was 12. We moved there when I was 12.
Okay.
And then I started playing golf as much as I could. I was playing baseball and decided when I was in Babe Ruth and I was 12, and I'm like, man, I really love golf. And I knew then I loved golf.
What was it about the game?
It was just the excitement of being able to hit a golf ball. I don't know why. You know, watching, you know, all these players, Lee Trevino and Nicklaus and all just the great guys and wearing white belts back then, bell bottoms.
Yeah.
And I just loved the game from that point. And my mother would drop me off in the morning during summer. And I had a friend of mine that I'd met, a guy named Britt Gober, who was a great guy in Nashville, good player. And we'd start playing junior golf together, and one would pick us up in the evening and drop us off in the morning. And then until I got 14, then I started working at night had to pay for stuff. So
what was high school golf in Nashville, Tennessee like?
You know, back then, it's a long time ago. And so we didn't have a lot of tournaments. We did have, you know, each club around the area may have had an event for junior golfers and that kind of thing. You know, they had the schoolboy championship at McCabe, and they had about a handful all summer, but they were really exciting to play in for me. And there wasn't a lot of golfers at that time. We're all hitting persimmon golf clubs and things like that. So in blades, so it's all we could get. What we could find to hit, that was about it. What golf balls you could find. It wasn't really anything like it is now, so structured.
It's back where it was more about the athlete than the technology.
Back then, I think so.
I mean, because it's changed a lot, obviously.
You had to learn how to hit a golf ball.
Right.
And back then it was reverse C finish, high hands. You know, now we're straight and left leg and low finishes. And so it's evolved.
High school golf and then college, wanted to play in college, and you did.
Yeah, and played. And I was, you know, I was always competitive then again, but I wasn't, you know, winning everything. But it was just something I enjoyed to do. I loved the competition of it. I got better. I had some of my better rounds when I was in my teenage years. And they ended up ran into a bunch of the players from on Lipscomb's golf team at Dave Lipscomb College back then. And they were just a bunch of nice guys, and I really liked that. And just kind of ended up getting a scholarship there.
And that was an NAIA school, but, hey, your college paid for. Well, Mom and Dad had to like that.
Well, yeah. They didn't, you know, we didn't come from a very money background, so we had to go learn things on our own and do things and make our own money. But it was a great experience to me, and played golf with a guy named Will Brewer, who was a great individual, a good human, and he won the national championship, I think, in 77. He was an All-American, and he's a great example to kind of – he hit ball far, but he could putt like you can't believe.
Mm.
But, you know, it was just good people that I got around. That made the experience in college good.
When did you decide, pro, that you wanted to make golf a career?
I was in high school. And I think it's just becoming from being around, you know, I like being around people. I enjoyed different people, personalities, things like that when I was growing up. You know, my dad always taught me, you know, he was a big figure as a man. And one thing he taught me was about, you know, being nice, you know, no matter what size you are. He was intimidating to look at, but then again, he was everyone's friend. Mm-hmm. And he showed me that he was more interested in what they were wanting to do rather than what he had in mind. And he got to do all the things he wanted to do in life. So he was a great example, I thought, as far as, you know, being a good person.
Where was your first job in the golfing business? Was it in high school? Did you try to start early?
Directly out of high school, I worked at a new club that just opened up called Nashboro Village Golf Course. And it was a good, really good public course. And I worked there during college. Worked my way through college because it helped me pay for my books and things like that or anything else I wanted to do. ended up making $2 and a nickel an hour. So that was great pay back then.
Yeah.
So we started out there and worked through college. And I knew that I wanted to be in the golf business. I enjoyed being around all that action and the people. And we pulled, and back then, I mean, Britt and I and another friend, we pulled golf carts and, you know, we did everything. Mm. We were there all day. You know,
picked the range.
Mm-hmm. And we got to play some, but, I mean, we did everything.
Yeah. What were the most fun jobs in the golf business back then? Because I know it wasn't picking the range.
No, it was putting contest.
Okay.
After everyone got off work, you could putt at night and that kind of stuff, and we had a lot of fun games on the putting green. So that was fun.
Did it help you become a better putter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's. I've lost it. I don't know where it went, but, I mean, yeah, it was there. I could putt it one time, yeah.
When you first got your first head professional job, where was it, and how did you come about getting that job?
Well, I was getting out of college after I graduated. I worked in a sales position, kind of in a rental sales position for a trailer company that made, you know, tractor trailers back then. They manufactured. And I started that just on a, you know, make a living. And then I just still wanted to get back in golf. And I still played, you know, amateur golf back then and when you could play in some tournaments. And it just got to a point where I just wanted to get in. And there was a job opening over it called Temple Hills Country Club. And it's a 27-hole golf course, you know, great layout. And after about a year and a half that the head professional left, and then I ended up taking over the job. Which was not the best thing to do, but I did anyway, yeah.
Why was it not the best thing to do?
Well, back then you had to get certain credits to get your PGA membership, and I've gone through all my educational things I had to do, but, you know, you couldn't hire anyone because they wouldn't get their credits, so you couldn't hire any other people trying to be assistants or apprenticeship until I become a head professional, but it took too long of a time to kind of get there, mm-hmm. And so I ended up, and I was head professional there for about 2 years, and I wasn't making any money. So I had to get out, and so I left, and I took a job with Arnold Palmer Golf Company and was there for in Louisiana and Mississippi for about a year, and then I just had to get back in the golf side of it, you know, around people. And I ended up a job opening up at Bellevue Country Club with Willie Gibbons, who was a Hall of Famer in the Tennessee section and workaholic and, you know, was a golfer. And it was a great experience for me. I was there for about 8 years.
To be a head golf professional – you have to be a workaholic, don't you? And you have to really love the game.
You have to love golf, and you have to know that you're going to be working weekends, holidays. But, I mean, that's just part of the job, and, you know, it's changing a lot now. I mean, it's the work ethics, I think, that we've had, you know, back then. We didn't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
We just worked.
Yeah.
But it was fun is only because, you know, you made it fun. I mean, it's something you want to do. You want to be around people, and that's what it's all about.
So 7 years at Bellmead?
I was there about 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, gave a lot of lessons back then. May have burned me out a little bit, but, I mean, I've enjoyed teaching. I really did. I did a lot of that when I was there. But that's where I got really probably a good training, I thought, a good background about dedicated to working. You know, it's not really – it sacrifices your family and a lot of things like that and your religion, you know, just because you're not where you should be sometimes. But that's, you know, as long as you've – and I married the right person, you know, for that. And yeah. We've been married 34 years, and she's great.
Awesome. It's good to have good support, though, right?
Oh, yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's a struggle if you don't. And this times it's not all easy, but then again, yeah.
So what came after that?
After Bellmead, and I left there, I interviewed. I was actually going to the Golf Club of Georgia in 86, and then Dick Horton called me and said there's a job opening at a club, a member-owned club. Seemed like a good, solid, you know, job, and I said, well, yeah. I already have a job. I guess I'll go look. And so I end up interviewing here at the Country Club in Little Rock and saw the membership and gave some tips and things like that and played a really not solid round of 3 or 4 holes. It was in April. And they were just great people. And you could just feel it. And where the club in Georgia, it was a great club, but, I mean, it was owned by a billionaire and one owner. And I liked really my odds and chances of dealing with people of multiple, you know, a lot of them rather than just one.
Yeah.
You know, I can mess up with one.
Right. It's hard to mess up a bunch.
Yeah. I might get 25 right and one wrong and I'm still good.
Yeah.
You know, but if I get that one wrong, I'm bad.
Yeah.
But I interviewed here, and then it just became where I was going to try to make a decision what I wanted to do. They offered me the job when I was here. They made me stay overnight and off the job, and I was trying to work two jobs and trying to balance one to the other, trying to get the money up a little bit more like that, and it almost backfired on me. And that brings up Bill Clark and Margaret Clark, who are probably two of the special people that I've met, you know, when I first got here. Mm-hmm. Bill was a good player. You know, he's a chairman of the golf committee. He's just a great person, and we became really good friends. I lived with him for a while, for a couple of months when I took the job. But then again, he explained to me that he wasn't going to get any kind of contest with anybody else over my job, and it kind of put me in a bad spot. And I'm thinking, what do I want to do? And luckily, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been here ever since.
Been here ever since, yeah. It's, you know, it was just a special feeling back then. It was just different than any interview I'd ever been on, and the people were just that welcoming and still are. You know, it was just the history of the club, you know, what they did things. But Bill and Margaret, you know, took me in, and I can't say enough about them.
It's nice to have good people that support you. I mean, like you're saying, your wife, but then the Clarks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the membership rallies around you, it helps a golf pro feel good.
Oh, sure.
Country Club of Little Rock was founded in 1902.
Mm-hmm.
You are the fourth head golf professional.
Yep.
That says a lot. I mean, had been a lot of turnover in this job.
No, and that did say a lot. And I think that, you know, I never did meet Herman Hackbarth. He was the first one here for like 47 years, I think, at least. And then Pro Lewis is here for 30 as a head professional. I think he was probably 7 as an assistant, I think. And then Charles Ransom was probably 12 as an assistant, and then 7 as a head professional. And then I showed up, you know. Then I showed up. But, I mean, it was fun. I dealt with Pro Lewis he came in, you know, in my office every day with Bud Baldwin and gave me a great background and history about the club, which really helped, I think, you know, trying to understand, you know, people and what things that went on and what things, you know, I can talk about and some I probably can't.
Right.
But they knew everything.
Is there a better view of a downtown area from one side of the course and then basically just it looks like nothing except you're looking out to the west and Pinnacle Mountain on a backside of a course?
You know, the views here are talked about a lot. People from guests and things like that come out here and play. And it's really become even better over the last year that, you know, that's gone through a renovation on the greens again, and not the greens, but the surrounds and our teeing ground areas, and opening up some views. If you haven't seen 15, it's even more. If you haven't seen it, we need to take a look, and you'll see what we're talking about. And we've raised the canopy a size. I mean, we used to be just a tree-lined golf course for sure, and, you know, you couldn't grow grass in the rough because you had so many trees. And, you know, Bill Clark, Warren Stevens, and a lot of other people that have started the project of removing trees and trying to opening up views, and it was a great – I was kind of a tree hugger, but they were all in favor of moving and taking out the trees, and we've taken out thousands.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's the views now.
You mentioned Warren Stevens, a man that has done so much for the game of golf in the state of Arkansas. And he's doing that on the heels of his father, who was just a fantastic gentleman and a member of this club. And
right.
You've got a funny little story with him, don't you, about when you decided that, yeah, I think I do want to come to Little Rock and be the head pro at CCLR.
Yeah. Well, once I made that decision, it was I'd been here for 3 weeks, and we had our four-ball invitational, which was a 256-player, something I've never experienced in my life, and I was stepping into this with really no background look, and I was trying to, and I came in here after I turned down the job. I was supposed to go to Georgia and just go ahead and accept, do a contract. Well, during that week, I interviewed here and took the job here, so I had to tell them I wasn't going to be there. And then I was standing up by number 18 watching some play coming in during the tournament, and it was Jack Stevens. And I went up and introduced myself to him, and I said, "Mr. Stevens, hi, I'm Darryl Shelton." And he goes, "Hi, bro, I know who you are, and how are you doing?" And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "Well," he said, "you've kind of upset a couple of my friends down there in Georgia." And I got kind of a little nervous and said, yeah, I'm not sure they're going to let me back in. And he goes, well, I'll get you back in. Don't worry about that. So it was comforting that he knew all about that, and he had a lot of people that were, you know, that was involved in that interview they had back in Georgia. And he just looked at me and said, I'll get you in. So it was good.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, and there are some prominent members of this club, have been some prominent members of this club, and sitting president has even played. I mean, just the history around here.
More than once, yeah.
Yeah. It's walking history, basically. You get to share those stories.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. No doubt about that, of just being exposed to those things and the people. You know, it's been a great experience for me, no doubt. And they're, it's because of the members. It makes all the difference in the world. And I can't say enough for the club. But then again, I've been really fortunate about the assistants that I've had work here. It's about the assistants, really, because, you know, they have to work, and they work real hard, and they try to do their best, and they teach, and they try to take care of all these things that need to be done. And, you know, for a hope that they can kind of get in a position like this one. And that's kind of way it's been for me, to try to make sure that they work hard and they get the right place, you know, that they have the right tools, I guess, that it takes to do these things. But, I mean, I would like to give credit to a lot of the ones that I've had. And I may forget a few of them, but I think John Zicke was the first one that hired.
Yeah.
What a great individual he was. And
gone way too soon.
Gone way too soon. Very, very, extremely sad. For me, you know, I have John Zicke and Gary Smith were the first two guys I hired. I had Jeremy Jones, Neil Day, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've had good players. These all were really good players. I think they made up for mine not being so great.
Yeah.
But Neil Day, Corey Willett, Scott Mason, you know, Brad Simons, mm-hmm. great player. These guys were all won everything just about. Seth Garner.
You know, Seth Garner was a state amateur champion in the state of Arkansas.
2014. He was in the playoff in 15 here. Yeah. Austin playoff.
Austin Oaf.
Yeah, I think Austin hit a driver and a wedge to 18, and I think Seth hit a hybrid of some type.
Yeah, Austin is, well, Seth and Austin in height, I mean, come on. I mean, they're a little bit different there, too.
Yeah.
But, no, Seth can get it around a golf course.
He can do that, yeah.
How much longer do you think you want to be in the golf business, or do you have plans to, you know, you and your wife spend a little more time together?
We have plans on spending some time together, but then again, you know, I think there's still some things that we have going on in the future that, you know, I'd like to be a part of. We've got the state amateurs is coming in 2025 here, back again. I think it'll be my fourth state amateur that I've been here.
Always a fun event to play in.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think. The course is really doing well, but, you know, that, and then, you know, we've got some other renovation projects, things like that. Not necessarily that they do need me, but if they have any questions, and maybe I, you know, I've always had an opinion.
Yeah.
Whether it's right or wrong, you know, so.
They always know they can come to you.
Always.
Best golf course you've ever played?
I'd say Augusta. Yeah. Pine Valley would be a close second.
Yeah. What'd you shoot at Augusta?
I think they gave you a lot of putts. We broke 80, but
they gave you a lot of putts?
I think they gave some putts, yeah. I think they gave some putts.
Oh, I thought you were a good putter back in the day.
Well, this is within the last 10 years.
So, oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, so I think Augusta was probably, I think by far as impressive as far as a total package, you know. Pine Valley was fun. It was hard.
Yeah.
But those would be my first two best courses.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you would like to play around of golf with? It could be some that you have, some that you haven't.
I've played golf with Jack Nicklaus, but I'd like to have him back in the group.
Okay.
He'd have been good. Arnold Palmer and Lee Trevino. Those three would be.
The stories.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I would just sit back, yeah. You know, and just laugh. I think it's, you know, it really has been those three right there would be good.
Darryl, what does the South Central section of the PGA mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, it's a tough working group of people. We have a large chapter, you know. We feel like we have the capabilities of being on our own, and, you know, it's tough to get to that position. But, you know, you've got some guys in the section, Dan Snyder, you know, highly respect him, good friend of mine. You know, Barry Howard, hard working guy. I mean, does never quits, you know, and gives back. I mean, you know, we try to do tournaments in Barry Howard and those guys, but there's a lot of guys that are sitting in a position that are really wanting to make things better all the way around for not just, I mean, for amateur golf, tournament golf, junior golf. They have their sights on the right things. It's just not always – it takes money to do things and take sponsorships and things like that to drive tournaments and to build on a program. But I think they're doing as good as they can do. They're doing a great job for what they got. You know, it's a good section. South Central is a good section. Then you have – that's just our chapter. I mean, you have Oklahoma and then Kansas.
Right.
A lot of good golf professionals in those three states.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt about it.
A lot of good ones.
When you walk out of this office and this pro shop for the final time, any regrets?
My regrets are deal with family, I think. Being able to spend time with them as they grew up, mm-hmm. you know, and that kind of thing. And it was just, I think I was just trained on a different schedule, you know. And I think that's the main thing is that I don't feel like my family suffered more than anything else. I've been able to do a lot of great things. What I enjoyed in because the, you know, members got me duck hunting. I loved hunting and fishing back when I was in Tennessee with my dad, and he was a big hunter and a fisherman. And I did that with golf. But, I mean, this is kind of really the trifecta of all clubs because, you know, you can, you know, I have golf and then I have my work and then I've got the play is really great in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, so you can hunt in the winter and then, you know, I have fishing I can do on some Mondays and things like that. And I've fished in a lot of good places and I love those three things. So I want to continue that. I don't want to leave the club and be gone. I still want to be a part of it as far as, you know, playing golf and hopefully I get to play golf with a lot more different members. And that's the one thing I do regret. I'm not being able to play more golf than I should have or could have.
Yeah. I think it would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I regret that more than anything. But, I mean, I had to focus on other things. It seemed like work-wise that I needed to do that made things good because the whole point was trying to make people enjoy what they're doing. And I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed people coming in and bringing guests in and playing golf here and enjoying what we have as a package. And the members are welcoming. They're not, you know, they're not stuck on themselves at all. I mean, they like people to be out here and enjoy themselves. And they notice that and they recognize it. So that's a great thing to be involved with.
It is. I get asked a lot. Best golf course in the state. And it is always right there in the top three with me. I think the views add to it, what they have done, like you said, taking out some of the trees, opening it up a little bit. It's fantastic. It's always fun. It's not very long, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
You can get in some trouble out here really quick, too, if you're not paying attention.
And if you don't carry the ball a certain distance out here, it's a really long golf course.
It is.
And that's what it finds. What I found out as I'm aging gracefully is that I can't carry,
move up tees.
I can't carry. I am. I'm going as far as they'll let me. But I'm, you know, I carry the ball not far enough right now. So that's why I have this new shaft right here is going to probably help me.
It probably will.
You know, who knows? But I do want to, my staff, I do want to give them credit. And I think that Chase Matthews is a PGA member now. He's young, really good guy. And he works in this shop here and the staff. He teaches a lot. And so does. And Hannah Bakalikas has been fantastic with the merchandising side of it. And she's great with teaching the juniors and things like that. So you can't give the staff people, as far as I'm concerned, enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes my job and what I do much easier because they're dedicated.
There's a pro, and then there's the staff that help make the pro.
No doubt. They make me look good.
Well, you've done a great job, and I'm glad to call you a friend, and thank you for the time. Just coming up here is fantastic.
Been my pleasure.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to thank Darrell Shelton for his time sitting down and talking with me. Thank you for listening. And remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.